exactly a week from now, it will be the fourth and most probably the last match in the epic rivalry between Juan Manuel Marquez of Mexico and our very own Pac-Man Manny Pacquiao. It is very rare in boxing to have more than three matches for the same pair of boxers. Most of the time you hear of a trilogy and no more. But because of lingering doubts on the last three matches, there is the need for this fourth. Now, this may or may not settle it after all. But whether you are a boxing fan or not, the essential nature of any field of sports is competition, which means there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. And boxers prepare for each other's style in the hope of getting the win of the match. Now, that's individual sports. It becomes more complicated in team sports because it sometimes happens that a rivalry can exist within a team. There was this infamous rivalry between Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant when they were both members of the Los Angeles Lakers. And no matter how superior in composition of the team, just on player names, the team unraveled because of that rivalry. Natalo din sa kahulihan. Now the church, I want to remind you, is in a much more serious occupation than sports. But in a very real sense, we are essentially a team. And just as a team in sports will do well to avoid contention among its members to succeed, so must the church. And in this last month of the year, a brief but hopefully refreshing series I will use a character to challenge us in that direction. I love to study characters who do not belong to the mainstream in scripture. You remember recently we studied Caleb, who was almost second to Joshua. We studied Jonathan, who played second fiddle, shall we say, to David. And yet there are surprising challenges that can extend to us if we see these characters, though subordinate to mainstream characters, if we see their place in the storyline, there are surprising lessons that they can afford us. And a New Testament character who may be on the same footing as Caleb and Jonathan in the Old Testament is Barnabas in the New Testament. His very name is a lesson because it is not his original name. His lesson was an honor conferred on him by no less than the apostles. Yung mismong pangalan ni Barnabas ay may aral sapagkat hindi ito ang kanyang original na pangalan. Ito ay pangalan na ibinigay sa kanya mismo ng mga apostol. Now, it may be contended, there was also the convenience of giving him a name because there were two Josephs in the early church. One Joseph was called Barsabbas in the first chapter of Acts, and there may have been a need for convenience sake to give a second name to this other Joseph, or some translations have Joseph, but there was a convenience to name him. But the very fact that the apostles were the one who chose, and they chose this, certainly is a lesson. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 33 to 37. Acts chapter 4, beginning verse 33 to verse 37. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now from there, would you jump to chapter 9 of still the book of Acts, chapter 9, and we'll read from verse 23 to verse 28. Acts chapter 9, verses 23 to 28. This was after the conversion of Saul. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. I always warn my students about the danger of falling into a mere model approach when using any of the biblical characters. Mali yung paraan na gagamit ka ng karakter ng Biblia at basta ipapakita mo lang ay ito ang halimbawa na dapat nating tularan sa kanya. We should avoid that approach. It is not a mere model. We're not simply saying, here is Barnabas, imitate him. That will be the wrong approach to the scriptures. We must learn to put our character in the storyline, within the storyline of the biblical portion we are using. In this case, it is Luke's story of the Christian church from Pentecost going on to the missionary journeys that expanded the gospel to the known world of the Roman Empire of that period. Luke's interest is to show by way of encouragement how Jesus' commission is being fulfilled by the church. Yan ang gustong ipakita ni Lucas. Ang komisyon, ang pagsusugo ng Panginoon sa kanyang iglesia ay nabibigyang katuparan, lumalawak na ikakalat ang Ebanghelyo. So from within Israel, the church is now becoming predominantly a Gentile church. And that is how Jesus intended it from the very outline of the commission he gave in Acts 1:8, beginning at Jerusalem, through Samaria, in Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that exactly is the direction Luke sets out to follow in the book of Acts. That's the storyline of the book of Acts, the expansion of the church. But within the storyline, we must not miss the interesting subplots that writers use in order to challenge and to warn. And Barnabas is a major subplot in the storyline. In him, we see what is expected of a growing church. Kay Barnabas, pinapakita ni Lucas ang dapat asahan sa isang lumalagong iglesia. And it is in his very name. Only he has this honor of no less than the apostles, giving him a name above his original name. From his original name of Joseph, the Hebrew name, or Joseph in other translations, his conferred name is now Barnabas, which is defined by Luke to mean son of encouragement. My message is this: encouragement is an individual ministry necessary in a growing church. Ang pagpapalakas loob ay ministeryong pang-isahan na mahalaga sa lumalagong iglesia. Encouragement is an individual ministry necessary in a growing church. Now, I call it individual ministry to distinguish this from a more structured and organized ministry. Some ministries are best structured and organized, and we were discussing some of them in our covenant meeting. May mga ministeryo na dapat nating ayusin, magkaroon ng organisasyon upang lalong maging maayos. There needs to be a system in some of our ministries. Other ministries, however, by their very nature, have to be individual and spontaneous. And encouragement is such a ministry. Barnabas played a significant role in the formative years of the church in extending to the expansion to the Gentiles, and that he should be described by his character of encouragement, it shows how significant this ministry of encouragement is in the church. Let me say three things about this ministry of encouragement. First, its impact is exceptional. Ang dating nito ay bibihira. Its impact is exceptional. Secondly, its effort is sacrificial. Ang pagpapagal dito ay nagsasakripisyo. And thirdly, its comfort is personal. Ang kaaliwan nito ay personal. Its impact is exceptional. Its effort is sacrificial. Its comfort is personal. We see all this in Barnabas. First, its impact is exceptional. The descriptive son of encouragement is meant to convey unmistakable identity. We still use this in English when we say of someone, he is the son of his father. Pag sinabi natin yun, ang ibig sabihin ay kitang-kita yung tatay niya sa kanya. Kitang-kita yung personalidad siguro o karakter o baka temper ng tatay niya sa kanya. Ibig sabihin, when we use this expression, son of this, the character is so manifest. You cannot mistake it. It's exceptionally clear. And so unmistakable is the impact of Barnabas' character that one is sure that he was comforted by this man. He was consoled. And here we learn that the ministry of Christian encouragement stands out amidst the regularity of community life. Ang ministeryo ng pagpapalakas loob ay nangingibabaw sa karaniwan sa buhay ng isang komunidad. It stands out amidst the regularity of community life. If encouragement was something the apostles saw as regular and average, do you think they would be calling Barnabas by that identity? They singled him out. He was exceptional. And that is just the thing. Christian encouragement is out of ordinary. And yes, even in the church. Now take note that I call it Christian encouragement. To differentiate that from ordinary cheering, we can give a pep talk to someone like a salesman who may inspire a prospect to close a deal. And I don't use that as the meaning of Christian encouragement. Christian encouragement impacts on you in a distinctly Christian way. And this is Barnabas' ministry. Christian encouragement that makes you walk in your Christian way more determined because of someone's words, because of someone's motivations. That's Christian encouragement. It makes you pray. It makes you determined to use the means of grace because someone encourages you. And that stands out. I remember watching with my son a basketball game in Araneta. Oh, you can watch it on TV, but still different when you're in the actual Coliseum. It's a popular team versus a much less popular team. And we were cheering to our heart's content. And almost everybody was cheering for the popular team. And then at a crucial juncture, when things mattered, suddenly one person out of that group that I thought were all cheering for the popular team, he could not contain himself and he just shouted a cheer for the opposite team. Eh, siguro pigil na pigil siya, panay fans ng kabilang team yung nakapaligid sa kanya. Pero nung ang team na niya, ang tila magwawagi, eh bigla siyang hindi na makapigil, nag-cheer. Suddenly, he stands out. He stands out amidst jeering of his team. He stood out because he was going to cheer for his team no matter what others may say. He could not contain himself. And that's the ministry of encouragement. It stands out. And my challenge, brethren, is stand above your indifference and overcome the predisposition to discourage. And there I mentioned the two, which are regular and average, to be indifferent and perhaps without meaning to discourage. Those are the average things. Indifference is the comfort zone of the average. Indifference says, if someone has a problem, so do I. If someone has a need, so do I. And expect the indifferent to be civil, perhaps even fun. But don't expect beyond the cliche and the banalities. Yung walang pakialam, maari siyang nakakatuwang kasama, maaring siya ay magalang kasama, pero huwag kang umasa na papasok siya sa kalooban ng iyong pangangailangan, ng iyong kabigatan. The indifferent will hardly make an impact in any exceptional way. He will not be a Barnabas. But if indifference is bad, even worse is the predisposition to be discouraging. I cannot call it a gift, but there are those who seem to have the knack for discouraging and even make a flare of it. Listen to Proverbs 15, verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And when your spirit is broken because of someone's lack of caution with his or her words, the impact can be tremendous. Yep, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. We are a Christian church, brethren. We represent the Savior of whom it was said in Matthew 12:28, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering flax he will not quench. He calls himself a gentle and meek Savior. This is our Jesus. And my friend, if you fear about your sin, if you think your sin is too much for the Savior to pay attention to, he said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Come to me, you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yan ang aming tagapagligtas, maamo, mahinahon. At anumang kabigatan ang siyang nasa iyong puso, gusto kanyang bigyan ng kapahingahan. At tayo ang mga kinatawan ng ganitong tagapagligtas. So why be discouraging? We should be that home which a song goes like this, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. The discourager is one who always points to the cloud. No matter how well-motivated the effort, no matter how well-intentioned, the discourager sees what's wrong, and it discourages. And we should rather be encouraging because its impact is exceptional. One of the best books that has been of help to me in the matter of counseling is by Lawrence Crabb. It bears the title Encouragement. And I think I have told you before the story behind the writing of that book. Larry Crabb was a young Christian when, without expecting it, during the Lord's Supper, his pastor called him to pray and give thanks. And being young, he was so rattled, and he could only remember, he began thanking the Father for dying on the cross and for the Holy Spirit sending the Son, and he was thanking the wrong person on the wrong action, and he was so embarrassed. And right after the amen of the, after saying all those things, the only right thing that he perhaps said is amen. And at the close of the service, he immediately rushed to the door, hoping that nobody would see him. But instead, one deacon caught up with him. And so he braced himself up for the sure rebuke for his heresy. Instead, the deacon said, Larry, whatever you do for the Lord, I'm behind you 1,000%. And that brought him tears of encouragement. And that's the impact of the encourager. Its impact is exceptional. That's what happens when you encourage. And secondly, its effort is sacrificial. The first appearance of Barnabas in Luke's story that earned him this apostolic honor is that brethren were in need. And Barnabas sold his property to meet those needs. But take note, the first group, we are told, they gave their proceeds and laid them at the apostles' feet. Barnabas, we are told, gave them money. And two different Greek words are used. So in other words, the first group, they settled their break-even, and whatever proceeds they may have earned or profit from selling their property, they then laid at the apostles' feet. Nothing wrong with that. It's still generous, and it should still be commended. But in the case of Barnabas, it's not just the proceeds. We are told that he gave the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And you remember in the next story how Ananias and Sapphira thought to make a pretense of the same, and they were exposed. But Barnabas was sincere. Barnabas was true. He was willing to sacrifice. And what we learn here is that the grace of self-denial precedes the act of sacrifice for the encouragement of the brethren. Kung tayo ay magpapalakas loob, kinakailangan ng sakripisyo. At para tayo makapagsakripisyo, kailangan ng pagtanggi sa sarili. The grace of self-denial precedes sacrifice for the encouragement of the brethren. This section follows from Luke's observation that there was great grace upon the church in verse 33. So this is not the result of a gimmick for fundraising. Churches today are virtuosos when it comes to gimmick for fundraising. This is not fundraising gimmick. This is grace. The grace that Barnabas demonstrates is that he could give away even what is rightfully his for others' needs. And does this not demonstrate the very essence of the Christian gospel? Are we not told, 2 Corinthians 8:9, Christ became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich? Only through what Christ has done can you have the heaven's riches, salvation itself. And yet many times because of money, people who ought to be in relation find themselves estranged. Two of the most fierce competitors in business are Adidas and Puma, footwear business. Not many know that they are owned by estranged brothers, magkapatid. Ang may-ari ng dalawang yun, in fact, ang parehong nasa isang syudad sa Germany, ang headquarters ng dalawang business organization na yan. Apparently, they could be brothers for as long as it doesn't involve money. When it comes to money, earning, income, no brothers. And how sad when that happens to the church. So exercise sensitivity to the needs of brethren that challenges you to forgo your rights. Maging sensitibo ka sa pangangailangan na kung hihingin ng pagkakataon ay isuko mo ang karapatan mo sa iyong mga tinatangkilik. And in a society that majors on rights, it is refreshing to sense the spirit of concern for the needs of others. And when that concern leads to denying one's rights, whether right to material possession, right to your time, right to your own comfort zone, we are seeing the very spirit of Christian sacrifice. It is the spirit of 1 John 3:16. He laid down his life for you, therefore you ought to lay down your life for the brethren. And is this not what we are told of the Son of God? Though he was in the form of God, he did not count it equality with God a thing to be grasped. So surely you may commit yourself to something that meets others' needs. On this day, December 2, 1849, Hudson Taylor, upon knowing the will of God for his vocation, committed himself to go to China, one of the pioneers of missions in China. He committed himself. Although he could have practiced his profession in the medical field in a more lucrative situation in his home country, he chose to commit himself to the needs of others. This is a Barnabas. Its effort is sacrificial, and finally, its comfort is personal. There are several Greek words available to Luke to explain the encouragement in the name of Barnabas. In fact, I consulted a lexicon, and no less than 10 Greek words with different nuances could convey encouragement. Luke chose the word that has at its root being on the side. Sa maraming salitang magagamit ni Lucas sa Griego para ipaliwanag yung Barnabas, ang ginamit niyang encouragement ay yung tumatabi sa'yo, pumapanig sa'yo, nasa panig mo, nasa tabi mo. Charles Spurgeon, to personify this, uses the word alongsider. The encourager is an alongsider. He gets alongside of you. And that's Christian encouragement. It requires personal involvement that perhaps even develops into commitment. We see this in the manner of Barnabas when he got involved in the life of Paul. He vouched for Paul when everybody else was scared, and they had reason to be scared. And yet Barnabas risked probably his own reputation by vouching for the conversion, not only for the conversion, but for the commission of Saul. When everyone was scared and doubted his faith, Barnabas took his side. Later, Barnabas and Paul will be an effective tandem in mission work. Earlier, it would be Paul and Barnabas. Later on, it will only become, starting 13:13 of Acts, Paul and his companions. Paul now becomes the leader, the main character. And we hear no complaint from a Barnabas, "Teka, akong nauna. But siya na ngayon." That's not the personality of an encourager. Paul will become the main storyline in Luke's account, and that is just all right to a Barnabas, a true encourager. In a good orchestra or voice choir, not everybody can play or sing the melody. Some will have to sing parts, and the very parts highlight the beauty of the melody. And some of us will be called into that direction. And the challenge to us is be on the side of someone in predicament, mindful of the potential of grace for him. There's the secret of the encourager, Christian encouragement, seeing the potential of grace. Because of a Barnabas, we have a Paul, the great missionary to the Gentiles, leading to the expansion to the Gentile church. This is the eye of the encourager. He saw the potential of grace even in one who persecuted the church. Where no one sees but someone to fear, Barnabas sees grace. In fact, when the apostles heard of a work among the Hellenists were Jews who have taken Greek culture, the way Filipinos would have been perhaps Americanized, and though they're still Filipinos, they speak with an American accent, everything. And to the Jews, that was strange. And when they heard Hellenists were being converted, that would be strange to them. Who would they send? Acts 11 records Barnabas would be sent. And look at Barnabas' report, 11:23, when he came and saw the grace of God. He was glad. He didn't see the different culture. He didn't see the alien surroundings. He saw the grace of God. Surely they may not be mature in doctrine yet. He saw the grace of God. Surely their ways would be uncomfortable for a Barnabas who was described as a Levite, very strong on Jewish tradition. Yet never mind, he saw the grace of God. And I challenge you, be personal, and by being personal in encouragement means you see the grace of God in individuals. The discourager sees always the wrong, sees always the potential for wrong. The encourager sees the potential for great things in the kingdom. The theological and expository writings of John Calvin have been published long ago and have been ministering to the church for many generations. His personal letters have just been recently completed and just recently published. They number in the thousands, personal letters to individuals. And my head boggles at the thought. Here was a man preaching almost every day, writing all those theology books and superior commentaries, and he had the time to write thousands of letters by hand. Not email, no text, just letters encouraging individuals. There's a Paul and a Barnabas combined. I challenge you, brethren, there are people who may be silent, but a simple word of encouragement will be used by God to evoke the grace that is in them in order to be become a greater potential for the kingdom of God. Therefore, let this be your ministry. The word used for Barnabas's encouragement, its root is supremely attributed to the Holy Spirit. The encouragement that Barnabas was is the comforter that the Holy Spirit is, the same root word. Therefore, when you encourage, you are extending the work of the Holy Spirit for someone else. Let us sing our hymn to conclude this message. O Master, let me walk with Thee. The second verse is very fit. Help me, the slow of heart to move, by some clear, winning word of love. Teach me the wayward fit to stay, and guide them in the homeward way. And take note, third verse, teach me Thy patience still with Thee, in closer, dearer company. Aren't the members of the church supposedly closer, dearer company? And yet, the closer, the dearer, those are the times that we need so much patience and to be an encourager. We need this grace in hope that sends a shining ray. May we be such ministers of encouragement that a shining ray is left in each one's heart who makes contact with us. O Master, let me walk with Thee. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, tunay nga na sa isang iglesia ay inaangkin mo na kasama sa paglago ang pagkakaroon ng ministeryo ng pagpapalakas ng loob. At kung saan mayroon nito, natutulad ito sa gawain ng Banal na Espiritu na siya mismo ay tinawag na the Comforter. And help us, Lord, to image the Comforter Himself when we deal with one another. And may Barnabas be that character who is an important subplot to the storyline of the growth of the church, reminding us that the ministry of encouragement is necessary in a growing church. And where there is that ministry of encouragement, it stands out amidst the regularity of indifference or discouraging. So grant, Lord, that we may be those who stand above our average of being indifferent or even of being discouraging, making sure that we have that grace of self-denial that is able to make the sacrifice necessary when we need to forego our very rights, perhaps even our right to material things, maybe our right to our personal comfort, our comfort zone, in order that we may minister to those who need encouragement. And when we do make encouragement our ministry, it will demand of us personal involvement. We cannot reduce it to a mere formula, a ritual, but we must invest personally that we may be involved and even be committed. And one thing that we need, that we must emulate in Barnabas, is the ability to see the grace of God amidst the fearsome reputation of Paul and the strange culture of the Hellenists. Barnabas saw the grace of God. Help us, Lord, to do likewise and be like our Lord Jesus, be like the Holy Spirit, and be like Barnabas. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.